Patriots Football Weekly is delivered to you by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason? Morning Meeting, brought to you by Verizon. Better matters.
Well, guys, 30-17 win on the road, 8-2. In a lot of places, that'd be cause for celebration, but I'm hearing a lot of consternation in Patriots Nation, and I might share some of it.
You certainly share some of it. I listened all week on PFW in Progress and Radio. You know the defense is scary right now, and I see your concern.
Yeah, I think in a normal season, you'd be like, well, you know, we'll worry about the defense when it comes to January, and we'll figure it out then.
But wait a minute. Brady and Belichick tell me all the time that Thanksgiving is when the NFL season starts, so it's now.
I'm saying right now there's some issues going on. I think maybe not the defense as a whole, but with personnel.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's not necessarily just how they're playing on the field. It's some off-field stuff, too. And again, we don't know what exactly is going on. We don't know what Belichick and the players, we don't know exactly what the reason he keeps saying best interest of the team. And that's just such a broad brush excuse as to what is going on. We don't know exactly why it's in the best interest of the team that Jabal Sheard was at the Celtics game on Friday night instead of with his team in San Francisco. There's no question they're not playing very well, but I'm much more concerned about this sort of air around that unit in the locker room. I don't know if there's problems Jamie Collins related with Sheard. Logan Ryan's in and out of the starting lineup. Eric Rowe goes from starting to inactive to back to a full-time player. Justin Coleman, same thing. There just seems to be a lot of searching going on, not a lot of answers.
You can't tell me that Jabal Sheard is not among the top 45 on this team. You can't tell me that. So there's got to be another. It's not his performance. Maybe his performance is not what they want it to be, but it's not because he's not a good football player. Right. It's because he's not on board right now.
I agree. There's a bigger thing going on in there, and we probably won't ever find out exactly what it is, but we'll see in the offseason when, you know, some of these free agents are going to go elsewhere, and some of them might stay here, and we'll figure it out then. But certainly, I agree with you. Fred's stance on Sheard, I think, is dead on. This isn't a football thing, much like Collins wasn't a football thing. There's something else involved. He's not playing well, but there's a reason for it that doesn't have anything to do with his inability to play football.
Right.
And, you know, we'll figure that out. But fortunately, whatever they do on defense is carried by Tom Brady.
But
what he did on Sunday, yeah. And I've seen the guy play countless unbelievable football games. I can't recall a second half that he made so many individual plays virtually all by himself as he did to win that game in the fourth quarter on Sunday.
Yeah, it was almost like, I'm home. I'm going to show, you know, the people
I'm
that I grew up around.
I'm not losing here, no
right.
matter what.
Exactly. He willed the win. Yeah.
Is it okay to drift back negative again?
Dion Lewis because I'm very
Dion
pleased
Lewis
with what
Lewis
I saw
is a
with
positive,
him, too.
Too. Yeah. You know, I thought you got a taste of Dion Lewis and a reason on a day when you were without Rob Gronkowski and you're without Chris Hogan, you got the hope of Dion Lewis is back. Because I think if you looked at it, he had 25 yards receiving, 25 rushing, whatever it was, but he looked fine. I didn't see anything that appeared to be rust, limitation.
He seemed to have that.
And that's exciting. Yeah. And you're going to get Gronk back. You're going to get Hogan back. So you're adding weapons to the offense.
As close as the game was going into the second half, I have no problems with the offense.
Well, certainly Brady is playing as well. You've said this before. Now it's true. He's playing as well as we've ever seen him play. And he has added a dimension to the offense with his mobility that I'm not sure it's great that you're relying on it as often as you are. Multiple touchdowns in this game. To Malcolm Mitchell and Danny Amendola came with Brady making things happen with his feet first and throwing on the move. That is not a traditional Brady. Remarkable that he's added that to his game at the age of 39. It's why he is the greatest ever and an MVP candidate and whatever you want to throw on his plate. But the offense did struggle at times, and it did struggle even with Lewis back. And I thought Lewis looked great. I thought he looked like a guy that's going to add to your offense moving forward. Not a lot of rust. But you forced the ball 17 times to Julian Edelman. And Martellus Bennett on a day when you played without Hogan and Gronk was a non-factor. He disappeared. So the pressure continuing to get to Brady, bad. And the lack of the weapons maybe stepping up with Gronk and Hogan out, not great.
Yeah, and that was my big takeaway was, you know, Andy and I have always felt that it's Gronk, not anybody else in terms of the offense. Gronk is the guy who makes a difference in the offense. It looks different when he's not in there. You saw that 17 times to Edelman. More often than not able to separate and get open. Danny Amendola only seems to really get open when it's a broken play, the way Andy talked about with Brady a lot. So You don't have a lot of different answers, and you were also missing Hogan in this game, but I thought Mitchell did a really nice job of stepping in and making some plays in his opportunities.
Yeah, I thought this game will go a long way towards earning the trust and respect of Brady for Malcolm Mitchell.
And there had been whispers that they weren't happy with him. He had that false start. He got immediately removed from the game a couple weeks ago. And then there was a deep ball that he kind of didn't run out or gave up on, whatever. People were starting to wonder, well, on this play, Brady had endless trust in him. It's probably not a real high percentage great play unless you're the greatest quarterback of all time. And it may be, in my opinion, an early play of the year candidate for just I don't think you understand how difficult a physical play that was. So on the move, rolling right, throw over a guy, he catches it in stride, gets paid. It was very impressive.
Well, they move on to the Jets this week. Todd Bowles is a defensive-minded head coach. We'll see what type of problems, you know, he knows the Patriots well. See what type of problems they present to this Brady offense.
But the big picture story as we hit Thanksgiving, right, is we've seen the offense be great before, record-setting, good enough, more than good enough.
Right.
You overcome in San Francisco. You overcome wherever. But do you overcome in the long haul? And we've seen seasons end in tears, quite literally, because the defense wasn't good enough. And I think that's the balance we're starting to get. Coming in, we had high hopes for the defense, right? Top five?
Sure.
Some preseason analysts thought this was going to be a great defense, and I'm pointing to Paul and I on the preseason broadcast.
Absolutely.
We were tricked. It's not a great defense, but is it a good enough defense?
Yeah, I believe it is if everyone gets on board. But if guys aren't on board, if you have even two or three guys just not with the program, that
the
kills the whole thing.
You see how this is why you get to be the boss.
No,
do you see what he just did? That so now if it happens and they play
they
great,
got on board.
They got on
Listen,
board, and he was right.
I
if
know,
it doesn't happen,
are you
it's not because they didn't have the ability to do it. It's because they didn't get on board.
Are you going to disagree, though, that throughout...
I'm going to disagree. I don't think they're good enough.
Throughout Bill's tenure as the head coach here, the defense has always been, whatever scheme you want, it's been a team philosophy. It's been complementary defense. They don't have a Lawrence Taylor. They had a Darrell Revis, you know, for a cup of coffee. But for the most part, it's been guys playing all on the same page and being complimentary.
I think that's a little disrespectful to a lot of great players. That have come
but even those great
that's
players.
That's in the last
Ty
10 years.
Ty Law, Mike Vrabel, Willie McGinnis, Ted Johnson, Teddy Bruschi,
Richard Seymour,
Lawyer Malloy, Rodney Harrison.
Yeah, listen, Willie McGinnis was almost washed up until Bill Belichick reclamated his
and
career.
Now you're getting to my point. Do guys need to get on board, or does the coaching staff need to find a way to get guys on board?
We started this out. For all we know, they're having that meeting this week.
Today's show is brought to you in part by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason? Fisher Plows, a whole new way to attack winter. And also brought to you in part by AT&T. AT&T, mobilizing your world.
This week in From the Heart, big matchup. Jets, Patriots, it's all about turnovers. The Patriots simply can't get enough turnovers. Only 9 takeaways all year. Haven't had a turnover in the last 3 games. You know the last time Bill Belichick's team didn't have a turnover in 4 straight games? Never happened in New England. Good news, New York Jets like to turn it over. It's the problem with their season. 20 giveaways this year, including 13 interceptions for Ryan Fitzpatrick. You will have your chances, Patriots. Take advantage of them this week. You didn't last week.
There's been some concerns about the Patriots' defense this season, but most of that has dealt with the secondary and the pass defense. But lately, I think the run defense has been just as big of a problem, and that was the case on Sunday in San Francisco. And it might not get any better with the news that Alan Branch could miss some time. The guys up front, Malcolm Brown, going to be rookie. Vincent Valentine probably getting a bigger role. These guys need to do a better job. Carlos Hyde, 86 yards in San Francisco on Sunday. The Buffalo Bills have run the ball well. The Pittsburgh Steelers ran the ball well. And the Seattle Seahawks of all team, they haven't been able to run the ball against anybody all season. They ran it pretty well. This could be a problem. The Patriots are facing a lot of run-first teams. They have the Jets coming up, the Broncos down the road, the Los Angeles Rams. The Patriots' run defense is a sneaky problem, and it might not get any better anytime soon.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter dumpster in a bag can take it on. Visit thebaxter.com for more info.
This week's Trash Talk segment, we look at the matchup with the Jets. Paul Perillo, Patriots fans have anything to worry about?
I think they have a little bit to worry about here. And I wouldn't have said that about 3 weeks ago. The Jets have been terrible. We know that, 3-7, and Ryan Fitzpatrick has given the ball away. But I'm a little concerned offensively for the first time in a while. And I know big picture, there's not really a huge concern when you're scoring 30 points. But I think the starts have been a little bit slower. I think the consistency has been a little bit lacking. And I still worry about that offensive line, Andy, and their ability to protect Tom Brady. He's making too many plays on his own.
Nothing to worry about for a couple of reasons. Well, first of all, everything to worry about is in the Patriots' own locker room. If they come out and play their game, they're the far better football team. They should control the game on the road. Of course, I kind of said that last week.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Came back
but that's
and bit
a
me
big
in the butt.
If.
But I also think the Patriots are going to have opportunities. I just talked about it, turnovers. You're going to have opportunities, and they are due. You can't put the ball on the ground five times like the 49ers did and the other team not take it. Sooner or later, this goes the other way, and I feel like there's going to be a groundswell of turnovers, big plays, and just sort of the momentum and what we've talked about inside the locker room. You know, this locker room knows they're being criticized. They know Ty Law said, have some damn pride. Dante Hightower has talked about it. And I think sooner or later, that's going to bubble over onto the field into just this breakout type performance. And this is a rivalry week. It may not be the same because the Jets are 3-7, but this is a rivalry week. I think this is a game where they break out.
Well, see, that's kind of what concerns me. Is I do think the Jets have probably looked at this as a lost season. It's all over for them. They're not going to the playoffs, but it is a rivalry for them. And what better way for them to at least salvage a little pride than by disrupting the Patriots on their way to the, you know, a deep playoff run like they usually have. And I think that you'll get their undivided attention. I think they'll put a lot of effort into this game. If Fitzpatrick can get healthy, you want to talk about a lot of ifs. You know, if the Patriots play well, if the locker room problems are a thing of the past. Well, if Fitzpatrick doesn't turn it over, we've seen him get hot.
Right.
And I've seen him do that against the Patriots at times. Not often.
Right.
I mean, more often than not, he turns the ball over against the Patriots. But if he doesn't, I'm just not going to assume the Patriots are going to create turnovers. Now, if the Jets fumble five times like San Francisco did last week, the Patriots are going to get some turnovers.
The concern for me is the division thing. You know, these close games. I think the last six games in this series have been one-score games, a couple overtime games, a couple three-point-type games. So there's that bogged-down factor that we always talk about with any division rivalry. But I look at Ryan Fitzpatrick as this gift from the gods, this gift from the turnover gods. And I think he's going to try to win. I think he's going to be jazzed up. And I do think he'll have a little extra, too. And you know what happens when he's jazzed up? He's a gunslinger. And you know what that means? He throws it to you and not his own team.
Yeah.
And I think this is the week you break out with that emotion.
And I think you might find out right off the go, because if it goes bad for him, it goes bad quickly. And I think he will try to throw the ball and fit into some tight spaces.
Yep.
But the problem that I worry about, Andy, is there aren't a lot of tight spaces that you have to fit the ball when you're playing against the Patriots secondary. And I know that sounds disrespectful, but I don't think that they've been a blink away from a lot of interceptions this season. You know, the turnovers are down with good reason. They haven't been around the football a lot. So if the game sort of bogs down like you described, these division games, and all of a sudden you get into the second half and it's close, that's how the Jets can win. You keep a bad team in the game, and then they believe they can beat you. And in the back of my mind, I think this is going to be a close game.
I go with history. History tells me the Patriots don't go four games without a takeaway. History tells me that Ryan Fitzpatrick gives you the ball all the time. History's always right.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. Also brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Around the NFL is brought to you by Nissan.
Last week, 12 point after attempts were missed, and the sky is falling. Time for teams to start going for two more. I heard one media member say the location of the kick should go back to where it was before last year's rule change, because it's just not fair for an offense to have worked so hard to score only to have a kicker miss the extra point. Can we unclutch our pearls here? Last week was an anomaly. Kickers are still making extra points at a 93-94% clip. If anything, make them even more difficult. Knowing the outcome of any play before it happens makes no sense, and that includes point afters. Heck, I'd even add an option to have a two-point kick from 55 yards. It's okay, folks. 12 extra points were missed, and teams will manage to play again this week.
Players' Perspective. Putnam Investments is a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
This week we're joined by Patriots linebacker Shea McClellan, who's no stranger to Thanksgiving football. You played last year?
Yeah, we played last year, and I think actually every year I played on Thanksgiving, so definitely something that's going to be different this year, not playing on Thanksgiving.
I know obviously you have some work to do here on Thanksgiving, but you know, what's the day like for you? You know, you're looking forward to sort of just sort of stepping back and enjoying the day, a little football, as Coach Belichick likes to say, you know, food, football, and family.
Yeah, I would say so. Definitely food, football, family. You know, come in here, prepare, practice, you know, get ready for our game on Sunday, and then, you know, later that day, enjoy family time.
Now, you've been a guy that, you know, and Coach Belichick, again, talked about you a little bit and all the different things you've done. You know, you've been able to play off the line at linebacker, on the edge a little bit, defensive end. Is it a challenge sort of mixing and matching all those different job titles?
For me, no. It's a challenge that I like. It's a challenge that I enjoy and I welcome. And, you know, it's just something I've done over the years, and I'm used to it, so it's fun for me.
Coach has been using a lot of different players, and you guys have been sort of mixing and matching a lot of personnel groups. Is that a challenge for you guys to always make sure you're staying ready, staying prepared, and being ready to go whenever you're called upon?
No, it's not a challenge. It's just something you got to be alert and be ready when you're called upon.
What's the challenges going against the Jets? You know, Ryan Fitzpatrick's a guy who's thrown the ball to the wrong team a number of times, but he also is capable of getting hot. What are the challenges going against this offense?
I'd say it's definitely explosive offense. You know, they have explosive run and pass game, and, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick, he's a great quarterback. He's a competitor, so it's not going to be easy for sure.
Putnam Investments is a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
Okay, it's that time of the show to answer the questions that you sent to PFW, but first, the Wilson Hart Power Index. Andy, take it away.
Despite all your negativity this week, Fred, New England Patriots remain number one in the Wilson Hart Power Index, although the gap is closing a bit. Seahawks right on their tail. 6.83 is the Patriots index number, 7.16.
Yeah, why don't you move the decimals over?
No decimals. Move on. The Vikings are 3. Cowboys are 4.
Whoa.
Chiefs are 5.
Now we're going to
look at the bottom.
Can we go back to that number 3 team again?
What do you want to talk about?
The Vikings are what?
The Vikings. Very statistically impressive football team.
Yeah.
They have some issues on the O-line. They have some issues winning. Bottom of the...
don't let those issues winning bother
bottom
you
of the
at
Wilson
all.
Hart Power Index, though. We nailed it. The 0-11 Browns are indeed in last place, and they've been eliminated from the playoffs.
Congratulations.
And by the way, the Jets this week, 31st.
Good
so
for you.
You should win this week. Good 1 versus 31 matchup.
All right, let's get to the questions. The first one comes from Jason Mosley. He says, we used to have guys like Brian Cox and Rodney Harrison, and I would argue Brandon Browner, who were emotional and carried the defense. Do you feel like we are missing that emotional defensive leader?
I think physicality could be an issue in the back end. And I've talked to Paul about this during games, that you know they don't seem like they get caught in between. They don't know whether to go for a hit, go for a tackle, try to catch the ball, go for a pick. And that indecisiveness kind of just leaves the offense to do what it wants in the back end. I do think they could use a little bit more banging in the back
end. Yeah, just to illustrate that, their most physical safety is probably Patrick Chung. And he's also the smallest. So,
and he's always in the box.
So you're equating physicality with emotion? Is that what you're doing?
I think sometimes it spurs emotion. A big hit like that can ignite a defense. And it doesn't have to just be Rodney. Eugene Wilson was a quote-unquote free safety / corner who laid the lumber, had some big hits. I think Malcolm Butler is one of their biggest hitters from the cornerback position. I think they could use a little bit more of that as they look for their swagger, even though Bill doesn't want to talk about it.
All right, Mark Collier says, hello, konnichiwa from an Englishman in Japan.
Nice, well read.
An Englishman in Japan.
He says that the defense is struggling, lacking a pass rusher, but he liked what he saw in San Francisco. He thought that they blitzed a little bit more.
I definitely think they did, and particularly early in the game. But I thought Patrick Chung on one of those, you know, out of the slot at the top of the screen, he came off the edge, and I thought that was a big play. I thought Dante Hightower came a little bit too and got some pressure. So you're starting to see, I think, as much as Matt Patricia last week bristled at the aggressive, when the aggressive questions came up, both Belichick and Patricia sort of feigned like they didn't exactly understand what they were being asked about and talked about. But I thought you saw a little bit of a change to the approach. Now, maybe it was game plan related. We'll see. But certainly I think there are times they're going to have to do that because those front four guys, Freddie, they're still not getting there consistently enough.
And I'll take the matchup of Hightower on an undersized passing back every time because I think most times he'll do what he did, and that's run right through the guy on his way to the quarterback.
Right.
All right. Hugo Ramos writes in from Portugal. He says now that Deion Lewis is back, will there be room for guys like Brandon Bolden, DJ Foster, and even James White? Or will we see like an even rotation like we did in San Francisco?
Well, there's barely been room for Bolden and Foster as it is. Foster's inactive. Bolden has had a bit role only when needed. I do think it's going to eat into a little bit of what James White has been asked to do. Yeah. You're probably going to see not only sort of an equal balance like we saw in San Francisco, you'll probably see Lewis pass him at some point. But I do think he's done enough to stay in the rotation with those two guys and then obviously with Blunt as
we saw some of the split back early in the game.
Yeah, and I think we'll see more of that too.
Yeah, I think it's going to be three. It's going to be Blunt, White, and Deion Lewis as your running backs.
Devlin occasionally.
Monty writes in, I know this is looking far ahead, but I recently read an article that Revis could be released by the Jets. Do you think the Patriots should try to get him to compliment Butler?
Paul?
Not if Revis has been anywhere near as bad as A, we're being told, and B, he's telling us.
He's telling us
about his body breaking down. I don't necessarily want a broken down cornerback at veteran minimum, let alone the contract that he's probably going to ask for, even if he gets released. That's not going to all of a sudden tell him, I can't play anymore, so I'm just going to, just get the minimum. I don't really want Darrell Revis back. I'm a big Darrell Revis fan overall, but I think he's been a very selfish guy, and he looks like he's getting a little bit more selfish as his career is progressing here. I'm not necessarily sure he's going to be the answer to the Patriots' problems.
Yeah, no thanks.
Off the radar. All right, that's this week's questions. Every week, send them to askpfw@patriots.com.